As we enjoy high temperatures in the 70s this week, talking heat may seem a bit strange. But if Phoenix is going to become the first U.S. city with a cohesive strategy to address the health and economic impacts of extreme heat, Michael Hammett thinks work needs to take place year-round. Hammett is the city's chief service officer. He oversaw the city's submission in this year's Bloomberg Philanthropies Mayor's Challenge. Phoenix tackled urban heat and pitched a program called Heat Ready, a way to measure preparedness and develop a plan to improve the quality of life and potentially save lives. Phoenix was a finalist and received $100,000 to test ideas. In the end, Phoenix did not win the top prize of $1 million, but when I spoke with Hammett, he said the city is still, you guessed it, a winner.
We feel like we won. I mean, 35 cities were selected out of 320 to be in the testing phase of the Bloomberg Mayor's Challenge. And we took that to heart and we ran with it. We considered it a marathon and a sprint at the same time. The marathon being that we're moving forward. This didn't end when Bloomberg selected the cities to receive the $1 million. We were very grateful to have $100,000 funding to do our testing and get us to a place where we feel like we are in a much better position to move forward and address the threats related to rising urban temperatures.
So you wanted to measure the heat's impact in four big areas: housing, infrastructure, education, and emergency preparedness. When it came to housing, you actually included working with the city's hottest public housing community, where 75% live below the poverty line. So what did you test and what did you learn?
So that was a really interesting process. That was one of our first tests. And we went out to the community and we called it the journey to the bus stop. And we wanted to see what the folks that rely on public transit in this particular community, what was their experience like? What would they like to see different? And they were really forthcoming with us. They shared ideas related to the materials used for bus shelters, tree shade around the bus shelters, other manufactured shade. They really let us know that, you know, there are times when they're standing out there waiting for the bus to come up. And if it's 115 out, it's tough.
One thing that came out of it was a pilot for a misted bus shelter?
Correct. And that was something that we moved on very quickly, got that up and running. And that was thanks to the help of our transit department. They were able to move quickly on a prototype. And we wanted to see, you know, what would the maintenance of that system be? Would people use it? Would it make a difference? And we received some really good feedback on that.
You did a lot of community outreach, tried to reach a lot of different people. What did you find in terms of awareness or lack of awareness when it comes to heat and the dangers?
Well, it's interesting. At first, when we went out to some of these community meetings and bringing groups together, you know, we had this one group where the resident said, you know, I hope you're not here to tell us about heat. We know it's hot and we're getting by. And the more we got into the test with this group, we found that nearly everyone in the room had a personal experience, whether it was themselves or a loved one, that had either a heat-related issue or sometimes a serious heat-related issue, an emergency related to extreme heat.
Your application also points out, it says, we often learn the most from our mistakes. This was the question on the application, not something that you guys brought up. But you did discover something about messaging. Apparently, there's not necessarily an app that everybody wants, right?
Yeah, so we started with, hey, let's do something, you know, with technology. Let's do an app. And we went out and quickly found that the residents didn't want an app on their phone that they had to access, that could take their data, that could be costly, and that could be cumbersome. They said, you know, if there's a heat-related message, we would like a text, a simple text sent to us that says something or where to go for more assistance, things like that. So we moved from, you know, high tech to something that would be a little more simple.
You found that messaging is important in languages beyond English and beyond Spanish.
Exactly. Yes, that is something that we found in those communities. And you mentioned the housing community where we have large refugee populations, very diverse from different parts of the world. And there is not necessarily, you know, there aren't just a couple of languages. So we are looking at working with nonprofits and other partners to be the translators, to be the go-between. And we've had some success in early testing on that, where you have a group that's already working with the refugee population they've built a relationship, not only with the language, but with the trust. And so that's something that we'll be going down that road with. And one example of that would be the Somali refugee community. And we worked with Mountain Park Health Center in the past, and they were really instrumental in getting us, you know, through the door and allowing, helping us to convey information, not just with the translation, but with the trust.
How will you get buy-in from people who feel like they maybe are not directly impacted? Somebody who says, well, you know what, I got a car with my AC, I got a house with my AC, I got a job, I'm good, I can pay my bill. How do you get the buy-in from people who don't feel like they are socioeconomically impacted directly by the heat?
So one of the biggest components of this process that we've been working on is the fact that we partnered with Arizona State University. Professor Handala, and he is with the Urban Climate Research Center. We wanted to make sure that we had the experts. The city really is one of the experts. The residents are another set of experts, businesses, but also to have the researchers. And that's been instrumental in this because we want to use the data to show people what this will mean for them. And really, it impacts everyone. This is something that Phoenix has done a really great job of managing heat throughout the years. We're a desert, and we've grown over the years, but we're looking at rising urban heat. And that will be, what will we do? How will we support our residents when the temperatures continue to rise, which all of our research is showing that it is indeed doing that.
So what can you do since Phoenix did not receive the $1 million? How are you going to continue?
We are. We've kept going. I mean, we had, I won't lie, we had a moment with our team where we said, okay, this is tough to take. And we quickly moved forward. And that's under the direction of Deputy City Manager Karen Peters, where we have a plan and we're moving forward in all of these areas. One of the keys will be funding. And that is something we have to be clear about. But we've already been identifying potential sources. And we're working with those sources to actually begin to implement some of these projects within the key focus areas that you mentioned.
Potential sources you're talking about would be grants and awards, correct?
Grants and awards.
Just want to be clear, you're not talking about raising taxes, right?
No, this would be, we're looking at nonprofit organizations and also philanthropic organizations and businesses as well.
That's Michael Hammett with the City of Phoenix.